Okay, this is Saturday, October 8th, and we're here at Central Coast Wine Services with Dave Corey and also my friend Randall Dennis, and I'm Neil Monins with WineRelease.com, and we stopped by here to talk to Dave and about the wines he's making. This is our second trip to see Dave.
It's great seeing you guys.
And right now in the background, you hear a little bit of the forklifts running around, so this is actually, you know, podcast is actually in action. We're not in any studio or anything.
Well, let's start with that then. David, tell us about CCWS and how you rent space here. Mm-hmm. And the storage and use of the forklift and facilities.
Well, everybody's different here. What we rent is a square footage, so we have 4,000 square feet and we can do it with it whatever we want. But we have to have all our own equipment. Versus, there's people that don't do that, but they pay more for crush fees and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so they can use the forklift and all those things. So what's nice about this is you don't have to buy or have your own facility. You can, you know, have a facility that you can store case goods, you can bottle here, you can do everything here. You know.
Who are the other big wineries here? I saw Red Car.
Red Car, Arcadian, Summerlin, who makes, I guess as far as looking, making a lot of wine.
Right.
Summerlin, Placid Oro, McPrice Myers, Herman Story, Lane Tanner, Labyrinth. There's quite a few. Kunin, Westerly.
How many cases is Core up to?
We just released this year 940 for the 03 vintage and about 1400 for the 04 vintage.
Okay.
And we added a white wine for the 04 vintage.
Is that what we're tasting right now?
Yeah, this is a Grenache Blanc, 60% Grenache Blanc, 30% Marsan, and 10% Roussanne blend. And we did 110 cases, mostly stainless steel. That's what came out of stainless steel just to retain the fruit. We'll bottle this in about, I don't know. Whenever we get the permits, bottle it. So within a month, yeah. Bottle this, and we'll release this in March.
Tell me about the barrels, because when we came in this morning, you were on the forklift moving barrels around. How did you even find barrels this time of year?
I was at Brandon Winery, and they told me that he asked me if I needed barrels, actually.
Yeah.
And I said, he asked me if I knew anybody needed barrels, and I said, well, we need some barrels. And okay. We'll see how good they are once we start right. Swelling them up with water and
right.
You know, rinsing them out, so we'll see.
With crush going on, a couple of the other winemakers that we've talked to, it's just barrels, things like that, you know, supplies like that. Just, you know, a week ago you could get all you wanted, and now they're saying that everything's taken.
It's a pretty high yielding year, so, and a lot of people are kind of getting fruit almost for free. So what they're doing is like, well, let's take that. We can get extra 10 tons, but they, you know, then you have to get barrels for it also.
High yield as far as quality or quantity?
Quantity, but quality too. So there's a quality and quantity. It's like 97. 97 had real high yields, but high quality.
Because of El Nino, because of the rain?
Yeah, you get a lot of rain, a lot of early heat, and that helps.
So yeah.
That's why this year was like that. So yeah, the Syrahs, everybody's picking out heavy. So.
Same. California, third wettest year on record this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how everything tastes out next year.
If you get really good weather again next year, probably be bigger yields than this year.
So what are you most excited about then as far as you've seen stuff come in?
Yeah.
I know you added a white, but of the reds that you've been making, what are you most excited about for 05?
I don't know. Right now we have the Grenache in bins. I'm co-fermenting Syrah Grenache, and then I have Syrah by itself. And we have Tempranillo also in bins.
Okay, so. And let's talk about co-fermentation. So some people don't know what that means.
Basically, it's running two or more grape varietals together, fermenting them together.
So you've got to pick at the same time?
Yeah, you pick at the same time. The idea with that is they integrate better early.
Instead of blending them later on?
Yeah, instead of blending later. So yeah, it's more seamless as far as the flavors.
Okay.
Versus two varietals might not blend that well later, but if you put them, you ferment them together, they're going to probably come together a little better.
Okay.
So the idea is it's a better... It's better than the two parts. I mean, the two parts make a better whole. So that's we'll do that with the Grenache and Mourvèdre. We're picking next week. We're picking Grenache and Mourvèdre, so I'll do some co-fermenting with that. Last year we had like a half a ton per acre, so I wasn't able to. We co-fermented everything, but didn't have a lot of trial stuff to do. This year we'll have Grenache by itself and Mourvèdre by itself, and then co-fermenting.
And mm-hmm. Did you started off a vineyard guy, and then you went more towards a winemaker, correct?
Yeah, I did.
So, how much acres do you own?
We lease, actually have a long-term lease on 17 and a half acres, and it's the highest elevation vineyards in Santa Barbara County.
Okay.
It's about 3,200 feet. and where we also buy fruit from there also, and they have everything. We buy Malbec, Cabernet, Syrah, Tempranillo, a little Grenache, a little Merlot, besides our own Syrah.
I didn't realize you started out a vineyard guy.
Yeah.
What fields were you in then, and who were you working for?
I worked
for?
Start with Cambria, more in pest management.
Yeah.
Did that for almost 4 years. And I started at Vital Vines. So I worked with a lot of different vineyards, Stoltman and Beckman and Fiddlesticks and Sea Smoke.
Those are all respectable names.
Yeah, so it was fun. Yeah.
And then what's the turning point? When did you finally say one day, I think I'm going to try this?
Well, not just making wine. It was just... I just wanted more educational.
Yeah.
So I worked here, actually, for 2 years, just during harvest, and worked with all the small producers, like myself. So it was good because you integrate all that knowledge. Nobody's working with Grenache or Merlot. That was something really, really wanted to work with. Really liked the wines.
Yeah.
But I thought they worked better as a blend rather than individuals. So we never bottled the varietals by themselves. I just think that they complement each other.
When was the first year that you actually put a label on a bottle?
2001, yeah. It was bought wine, actually, from Barnwood. We bought the wine, and we were able to kind of like cherry pick the barrels. And so what it is, it's got us on a good start. You know, you're putting the money out, and it's 2 or 3 years before you actually start getting money. So in this case, we already had the ones in barrel, and we only had to wait like a year to start getting some money from that.
Okay.
And then with the 03 was the first year that for our vineyard lease that we actually had wine. It came out with our, you know, with what we grew and the whole deal. So that's like the elevation sensation is our vineyard designate.
Right. So. And how far do you want to take it? Where do you imagine CORE getting to? Do you have a big fancy tasting room in your own land someday? Or do you like staying on this level or somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
In Santa Maria Valley or?
Well, they're working on an appellation out there, but it's not Santa Maria. It's Santa Barbara County right now.
Okay.
It's not part of any appellation. So that's something that they're going to work on.
But, all right.
It was the Alta Mesa Vineyard, so we just gave it that designation. But, yeah, we're through 10,000 cases under CORE. No, probably...
That's right.
Probably close to 3,000 max out. But we're doing a label with our family. Also, my mom and my uncle wanted to start something, so we're doing a Syrah, $14 retail price point. A little bit of Malbec and Cabernet blended into it. The Malbec and Cab might be co-fermented, but probably not. They'll probably be all separate.
All right.
I prefer to co-ferment something like that.
And where are you selling then? If people listening to this want to get your wines, where
our
can
website.
They buy it? Website, which is what? Give that.
www.corewine.com.
Okay.
Yeah, CorewinE.com. And, we can do it that way. And, you know, we have great retailers, Perry Plaza in San Francisco and the Weinstein Brasserie in San Diego. And there's some other retailers that don't do quite as much. And then we're out of state. We're in Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Arkansas, Georgia, New York, New Jersey, soon in Kentucky and North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, fantastic.
Yeah, because last year also in the October issue of Food and Wine, Parker, that's when he said that Central Coast will rule California wines. It's a pretty strong statement.
For Rhones, I could see that, yeah. There's more diversity in climates, I think. And then people are focused on it. Like in Napa, you know, you have a great spot. And what would you rather plant? Cabernet that you're going to get all this money from, or Grenache or Merlot, which you're not going to get any kind of, you know, if you're selling the fruit for one. Or if you're making the wine, it's too hard. It's too difficult for them. Like Napa Grenache doesn't have the same ring, Napa Cab. So we, in Santa Barbara County, have, I think, a little more diversity in climate, for sure, than Napa does.
How much do you think Hospice de Rhone is doing for consumer awareness on that level?
It's really strong. Hospice de Rhone and Rhone Rangers. And, you know, we're part of family winemakers. It's been really good for us. Yeah, Hospice de Rhone's been great. I don't know. We try and focus more on the consumers. We do pre-release prices on all our wines. So we try and, you know, give the consumers a deal. So basically it's $4 off on a bottle. But with the wines that are released in October, they have to pay by May 1st. So sometimes, you know, people don't want to put the money out that far in advance.
Do you percentage-wise or just flat $4?
Just flat. Yeah. $4.
So. Interesting. It's pretty significant. That's a deep savings.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they can do 10% on a case if they buy, you know, and they want to wait and buy later. Which, like on Elevation Sensations, 34 retail. So if they did we allocate the wines too, so it'd be 6 bottles. But they could buy 6 bottles of something else. And then we do mailing list only wines. So we do the co-ferment. We picked one barrel of that. and then a late harvest Grenache. That was.
You doing any other experiments this year?
More whole cluster stuff, more stem inclusion. I'm doing a Tempranillo that has stem inclusion, not stem inclusion. I'm making wine for somebody that it's a Syrah that has. I threw some clusters of Roussan in there, along with stems, and then no stems and no white in the other one.
And so we taste them separately, and then decide if you want to blend.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they probably will get blended. You know, just trying to do different styles for people, and it's location. It's a great look out there. You know, you find like Malbec. It's probably really good out there because high elevation.
Right.
And Tempranillo the same way, you know. It's dry. It's like Spain. I try to focus. I don't try to put a square peg in a round hole. And so.
In terms of what people are planting now in this area, what's going up, what's going down in terms of production and plants?
I think Pinot. I mean, what's happening is people that they're seeing Pinot, you can make all this money. It doesn't matter how good or how bad the Pinot is. It sells.
Unfortunately.
And so what's going to happen is you're going to see... Pinot's going to lose some popularity, and then there's going to be a ton of Pinot out there, so you have a combination that's going to drive, it's going to drive prices down, and people are going to hold on to these vineyards. I don't know. I don't know what's going to take over for it. Could go back to Merlot again, Who knows? It's probably more likely than it's going to be something like Grenache or Tempranillo that's going to be the next hot thing.
The different varietals definitely have their cycles in the popularity circle, though.
Yeah, we try to just focus on that. For Core, everything has Grenache and Morvette in it. And we try to focus on that and do the best with that. And so we've integrated, you're talking about nails, we've integrated some new barrels, a little more new oak, more tight grain stuff, so it's not a big oak impact. And we use the large barrels, the 400-liter barrels. And then we use some smaller barrels, Juppie, which is a smaller subforest in France, part of Allier.
And there's some Hungarian oak down there?
A little Hungarian and some American, so they're bigger vessels. And
so describe from your opinion for your wines what you get out of the Hungarian versus American versus French.
Hungarian to me is, it's hard to tell right now because, you have that new oak influence, and it's hard to really tell right now. I think it's maybe a couple years down the road you could see how the wine integrates with the oak, or the oak integrates with the wine. I think what I like about this particular cooperage here for the French, Sacotin, is that it's more seamless, so after a few months, the oak kind of frames it. And that's what we're looking for, more for the oak to frame the wine rather than the oak to really overpower the wine. So that's more in our style. And Morvette doesn't handle new oak, so we have some one-year-old barrels and some older barrels that the Morvette will go into. And then the Cab and Syrah and things like that will go into the Grenache, will probably go into the newer barrels. And so I prefer actually the one-year-old barrels as far as the flavors. I think it helps. We really look for aromatics and more kind of, letting the terroir, letting the soil show. And we're not in a hurry to release the wines either. A lot of people, have already bottled and released some of their 04s, and we haven't even bottled 04s yet. We're just releasing some of our 03s right now.
Uh-huh. So then what's the average time that your wine will spend in the barrel?
Usually 18 months. Okay. 18 months, and then at least another 6 months in bottle.
Might go up to 2 years with the baby.
Exactly.
Just strictly with time availability, getting around to bottling.
Exactly. Well, that's what we're doing. Is a Cuvée Fletcher, and so it's a vineyard select, and then it's a barrel select from there, and it'll be like 44 cases. So it'll be one of these bigger barrels will be selected for that, and it'll be mostly Grenache with a little bit of Morvette.
Perfect.
Yeah. So a couple of smaller things.
Perfect.
And then, the mailing list, we always pick something different. Like 04, we have a barrel of Cab for the mailing list, and I'm not sure what's the other one. Oh, it's a co-fermented. Grenache Syrah. And the first year was a Grenache Morvette co-fermented. So give something to the consumer, something different every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's kind of our focus.
And then, so you'll stick with the hardcore elevations, all the time, and
the blend. And we call blend whatever the numbers are. And 442 is the current one that's out, and it's basically the percentage of Morvette, Grenache, Syrah.
Okay.
And so. People are used to it now that worked with this. The third vintage, it's out, so they're like, okay, I know what's the high one percent, so they can buy the wine based on that. We've already put together the 04 vintage, which is 10% Morvette, 60 Grenache, and 30 Syrah.
So it's a 10-60-30
Yeah, 163. Yeah.
163.
163, and that's the focus of that wine now is going to be, because when you have a lot of Morvette in a wine, it doesn't oxidize. So we're just finding that the 442, we released it in May, and it's finally just kind of opening up a little bit now. It's kind of integrating as far as the varietals. But when we first released it, it takes a couple days for the wine to open up.
So today being October 8th, in terms of picking the grapes, are we behind? Is it normal, or are we ahead?
Last year, because of weather.
What happened? What were the weather conditions down here?
It was pretty cool. It actually was a weird year. It was really cool early, and it was real warm for about, I don't know, what was it, about 2 or 3 week period? We had like 100 plus days, and normally have 2 or 3 the whole year. We had 3 weeks in a row of that. And then it just cooled right down. We had a lot of days that were, 70 degrees, the hottest part of the day in the summer. And then out there at high elevation, you start getting shorter day lengths. And so the fruit, it's like in the morning, we had 35 degrees or 37 degrees the other day.
Wow.
And so it just pushes it. And so the fruit doesn't ripen too quickly, so we can let it sit there. And it's been warm a little bit lately. And we're two weeks to a month behind last year, depending on the varietal.
Uh-huh. And then what do you still have out there on the vines, anything?
Some more Vet and Grenache. And we're picking Syrah, the rest of the Syrah on Monday. Picking some more Grenache and more Vet on Monday. First Morvette actually for us on Monday, and some more Grenache. We picked an acre of Grenache already for us, and it was a little more than an acre. Yeah, I guess it was an acre of Grenache.
And you do all your fermentations in these boxes. In these boxes, how many are they, gallons?
They hold about a ton and a half. A
ton and a half of grapes.
Yeah,
in each box.
Yeah,
and they're about what is that? About 4 feet high by
4 by 4 by 4. Yeah, I guess it is.
Since we don't have a video today, we've got to do a little bit of audio descriptors.
What's our video?
What we're looking at. Actually, we can take a photo of that.
That'll
too.
Be next year.
Of the boxes.
One step at a time. It's cool doing the square footage with these guys here is that we have our own press. We have our own crusher.
So you own that press right there?
They actually have. We pay into it. So versus we pay like $200 a ton to crush versus if we were crushing through Central Coast, it'd be over $300 a ton.
Oh, that's a huge savings.
Yeah, because we're doing about 30 tons this year.
Well, tell me again about what we just tasted, the white wine.
It's 10% Roussanne, 60% Grenache Blanc, and 30% Marsan.
Okay, and you're calling it?
163.
163.
Right? Well, 613.
613.
I can
get the numbers mixed
up.
Yeah, Grenache Blanc is the first number.
I can tell you this as a consumer and connoisseur of wine. If this is your first foray into whites, keep it up.
Thanks.
It's tasting really nice.
Yeah, I try to do something different. We try to actually dry ice the barrels. So once the wine is in the barrels, actually drop dry ice into the barrels to slow down the fermentation to try to develop the texture of the wine. So it's not a super big fruit-forward wine, but I try to develop some of the other characteristics, the minerality and things like that. You know, it's going to be like $22 retail, 110, 113 cases, whatever it was.
Sounds good. I'm going to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
This is a good recording.
Thank you.